This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for all of the bounties the favors that he has bestowed upon us for indeed Allah سبحانه وتعالى says ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه Whoever shows thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah but just increases. So may Allah increase all of us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And we place salawat and taslim upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salutations upon our Prophet as a means of barakah, tabarrukan minhu, as a means of barakah from the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue today speaking about the seerah of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last time we end off speaking about how the beginning of the revelation that the Nabi received with Jibreel alayhi salam being in the cave, Khadija radiallahu anha, Waraka ibn Nawfal, and all of these characters that we spoke about. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we speak about the start of the da'wah. Very important phase and very important part of the life of the Nabi alayhi salam when he started this da'wah, the calling to Islam. Now, the ulama, they divide that. If you look at the da'wah that the Nabi alayhi salam did, it is basically divided into three stages or three phases that the Nabi alayhi salam went through. The first phase was that the Nabi alayhi salam started calling people in secret. The second one was when the Nabi alayhi salam called people publicly and open and declared Islam. And the third one was when the Nabi alayhi salam was in Medina and he sent out the letters to the different kings and the queens and all of these things. Now let's deal with the first part. The Nabi alayhi salam started off by giving da'wah in secret. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Nabi alayhi salam, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, kum fa'andir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to the Nabi alayhi salam says, Kum fa'andir, now stand up and call to your Lord, wa rabbaka fakabbir, and make takbir, glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa thiyabaka fatahhir, and also your thiyab, your clothes and all of these things, make it pure. Not saying that it was not pure. No, but the ulama have to see the extract from that is to say that presentation is one of the key roles within the da'wah. Is that was one of the things that the Nabi alayhi salam was ordered, is how you present yourself is very important. والرجز فهجر, and the authan, the idols, abandon it. So this was the order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi alayhi salam starts to call people first in secret. Now why was that? We must understand that the environment that Islam started in was a very hostile environment. Remember, the Arabs, they were very stubborn upon what they found their fathers worshipping, of the idols, what was the tradition, what was the culture at the time. They were very, very strong, holding upon these things blindly. And anything that came in that was new, they immediately stood up against it and they would reject it immediately. So this was the environment that the Nabi alayhi salam comes in. And that's why the Nabi alayhi salam then starts the da'wah in secret. And who does he call first? His family and the close friends of his. And we know that one of those people was Sayyida Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, the first wife of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, beautiful story, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha became Muslim before anybody else. And look at this. Allah has honored a woman within Islam. That Sayyida Khadija, she is not only just the first Muslimah, not the first Muslimah, but she is the first Muslim in general. That both male and female, she was the first one that believed in the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why you see that there's an iman that we normally find like ourselves, where we need certain things in order to be convinced, proofs and adillah that is there in order for us to understand this is the truth. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha did not need that. She knew exactly that when the Nabi alayhi salam uttered the thing, he said something, immediately it had to be the truth. Why? Because he was known as a Sadiq al-Amin. And another lesson that we extract is that he was not just known as a Sadiq al-Amin outside, but inside as well. They say the best person to know the husband is the wife. And look at this. The Nabi alayhi salam was known by his wife as a person that was honest, a person that was truthful, a person that did not lie, a person that was upon the haq. And that's why when Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha heard the story of Jibreel alayhi salam from the Nabi alayhi salam, she then immediately became Muslim. We know one of the people also that became Muslim with absolutely no proof was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. People that entered Islam right in the beginning, like Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of the Nabi alayhi salam, at least he then became after that the servant, because we know that when Islam came, it abolished adoption, but it granted you the opportunity to take care of orphans. That is encouraged in Islam, to take care of orphans. So Zayd ibn Haritha as the servant of the Nabi alayhi salam. Some of the people also that entered Islam right in the beginning, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, Ammar ibn Yasir, and of course the parents of Ammar ibn Yasir as well, and more of those people that entered Islam. So many names that we cannot mention. There were approximately about 30 people in the beginning of the da'wah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it was very bad. In what sense? That the Muslimin could not just go openly and make salah. They couldn't go to the Kaaba and decide, okay, we're going to make salah. They couldn't even stand outside their house and decide to make salah. Why? Because they were prosecuted in so many ways. They were harmed and attacked in so many ways. And this is one of the wisdoms why the Nabi alayhi salam kept the da'wah in that stage, which was about 3.5 years, 3 to 3.5 years in secret. Why? Not because he was fearing for his own life. No. The Nabi alayhi salam had that complete conviction that Allah will take care of him. He was not fearful for his life, but he tried to grant the environment for the Sahaba to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's very important that the Sahaba, we need to understand the Sahaba were like normal human beings like us. So the Nabi alayhi salam had to take them step by step in order to get to them to that level of Sahaba, that level that today we follow, the level that we today look at as examples. And the Nabi alayhi salam had to take them step by step. So they were not on that level immediately. So the Nabi alayhi salam had to make sure that the environment is there in order for them to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he started out in secret in order to protect the Muslimin, to protect them, their dignity, their lives, their wealth, their money, their blood, all of these things. This is why one of the wisdoms that we extract, why the Nabi alayhi salam made the da'wah in secret at first. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this actually goes with the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'idati al hasana." Call to the path of your Lord with what? Wisdom and being the example. And this was from the wisdom of the Nabi alayhi salam. Because the Nabi alayhi salam was not just a messenger, but he was a leader. And a leader takes care of his followers. A leader is there for every single person that is under him. And a leader will always make sure that he first puts the people before himself. That was the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking about the people. Because can you imagine if the Muslimin had to come out and immediately stood up against Quraysh, came out and declared, and majority of the Muslimin at the time were weak, majority of the time, that beginning of the time of the da'wah, majority of the Muslimin were poor. Can you imagine if they had to come out and declare these things? Would they have still been even alive? Would Quraysh have even left them in order for them to go and worship and do what they want? No. I mean, this is the wisdom of the Nabi alayhi salam. We are sitting here today because of the Sahaba, because what they heard from the Nabi, because what they carried over with them and conveyed to the Tabi'een and the Tabi'een Tabi'een until it came out to us today. So there's wisdom behind the Nabi alayhi salam's decisions, because we know at the end of the day, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. It's but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Nabi alayhi salam acts upon. Because we know that the Nabi sunnah, let me say sunnah in general, is not just what the Nabi says, but what he does, what he affirms. So it's sunnah qawliya, sunnah fa'liya, sunnah taqririya. It's a sunnah considered when the Nabi says something. It's a fa'liya when the Nabi does something. Taqririya is when the Nabi affirms something, meaning he sees something and he affirms it, he approves it in that way. Some of the ulama added to these things also saying al-khalqiya wal-khuluqiya, that also the adab and the akhlaq and the character of the Nabi alayhi salam, that is part of his sunnah. And his physical appearance as well is part of the sunnah of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Nabi alayhi salam is now training the Sahaba in order to get them ready for what? For the biggest test that they're going to face. And what is that? Facing Quraysh. Facing their own people. Facing these people that were so powerful over them, that never did Quraysh ever think that this thing is going to turn upside down against them. I mean, look at the battle. battle, the first battle is Ghazwat Badr, and we'll get to that inshallah. Ghazwat Badr, how much are Muslimin? 313, 300, there around. How much are the Kuffar? How much is Quraysh? 3,000. 3,000 people against 313. It shows you the significant amount that the Quraysh was. So here, or the Muslimin are minority, they're small. So therefore, the Nabi ﷺ, to a certain level, have to compromise in order to make sure that the Sahaba are okay. And this is a lesson for the dua. This is a lesson for those that call in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to use wisdom, to use their intellect, to be intelligent, the way they call people to this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both intellectually and emotionally intelligent, is very important. So here the ulama then extract certain ahkam to say that if a person finds himself in a situation where his life is threatened, or his dignity is threatened, or whatever is at stake in the sense of some things that belong to him, then it is permissible for him to compromise. It's permissible for him to stand back or stand down in order for him to live on. Because remember, that, like they say in the art of war, they say, lose a battle to win the war. But of course, we're not speaking about war in the sense of fighting and killing, murdering innocent people. We're talking about the war against your nafs, the war against shirk, the war against kufr. And not individuals, but ideologies. Right? These are the things that we need to fight. Not people. The Nabari system did not come to fight people. He came to fight ideologies. He came to fight and destroy ways of thinking of people. This is what the Nabi alayhi salam came to do. So the Nabi alayhi salam now protecting Sahaba, keeping it secret. This is then permissible for also, as in our time, in our era, that is permissible for ulama or those that are in da'wah. Then they look at the situation, they see it's difficult, in order to come out and declare, it is best for them to keep it in secret in order to protect the Muslimin, in order to protect those that are under them. But if the environment is granted for them and they are safe, like, you know, a lot of countries that are now ruled by democracy, right? You have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all of these beautiful things. Now we see here in these countries, it is granted you the opportunity, you can call to your religion, you can worship whoever you want to, you can say whatever you want to, in that sense, with respect, and nobody will prosecute you. Now therefore, we see that the environment is there for us. So therefore, we do not need to keep things in secret. We do not have to come and try to call only those people that we trust. No, this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open for everybody. Because Allah has granted us that environment that we're able to call people to this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Sahaba, they could not just go out and worship Allah. They could not go in front of the Kaaba and decide, okay, let's make salah, let's make two sunnah rak'ah, let's make asr or maghrib or isha, whatever the case may be, let's make salah in front of the Kaaba. No, they would get beaten up, they would get harmed, they would hurt them, they would prosecute them, they would torture them even, to the extent that Ammar ibn Yasir's parents are killed. They considered as the first shuhada, the first martyrs in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, this is what the Sahaba faced. And therefore, the Nabi alayhi salam then did this with them in order to protect them. And this is in where we extract the lesson, is that it's permissible if we find ourselves in a situation where we cannot protect ourselves. We don't have enough influence. We do not have enough power in order to stand up for ourselves. So therefore, in this sense, we compromise. That's why Sheikh Saeed Ramadan Abuti, he says, أَجْمَعَ جُمْهُورُ الْعُلَمَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِذَا كَانُوا قِلَّ أَوْ ضِعْفِ الْعِدَّةِ بِحَيْثُ يُغْلَبُ الظَّنَّ أَنَّهُمْ سَيُظْلَمُونَ أَوْ يُقْتَلُونَ فَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ تُقَدِّمْ مَصْلَحَةَ حِفْظِ النَّفْسِ. He says that it's best for people to know that majority of the ulama, they have made it permissible that if the Muslimin are little in number or they're weak, بِحَيْثُ يُغْلَبُ الظَّنَّ, where it looks like they will be more harmed and more prosecuted and killed, يَنْبَغِي أن تقدم مصلحة حفظ الناس. You then have to prioritize what? حفظ الناس, the protection of life. Because this deen is not there to kill people. This deen is not there to throw yourself in the fire. No, this deen does not, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not make anybody accountable for something that he cannot do. So many things that is granted to us, we can handle it. And what we cannot handle, خلاص. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Don't throw yourselves into danger and harm's way, because that is not what Islam is about. Islam is about protecting. Islam is about dignifying. Islam is about giving that freedom for a person in order to worship whoever he wants to worship, but specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. You have your deen, I have my deen. I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the type of environment that we need to have in order to establish these things. We see one of the ulama, his name is Al-Izzu ibn Salam. He says, إِذَا لَمْ تَحْصُلْ النِّكَايَ وَجَبَ الْإِنْهِزَامِ. He says, if protection is not provided, therefore the person has to compromise. The person has to step back in order to make sure that things resume. Things go on. There's like a famous quote between people, especially in the art of war. They say that lose a battle today to win the war tomorrow, right? But here we're talking about the war of what? Of kufr. Not kuffar specifically, but kufr. Islam came to fight ideologies and schools of thought that contradicted Islam. It didn't come to fight people. The Nabi didn't come to push people into Jahannam. He came to pull people into Jannah. That was the methodology of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, ulama then explained that if this is the situation, then a person, it's permissible for the person then to compromise and do it in secret. But if that kind of environment of oppression and tyrant and all of these bad things that might harm you, then of course, if that is not there, then you have no excuse but to call and declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your Lord, and that Islam is the deen of your fathers and is the true deen and all of these beautiful things. And of course, we cannot see that. We cannot see the intention, the conscience of a person, because it's in the heart. So therefore Islam came to equalize people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether also be male and female, because everybody in front of Allah is the same, whether you're male or whether you're female, the reward and the punishment are the same. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these people that were oppressed, were weak, these people then found this attractiveness towards the deen of Islam in order to get their freedom from the slavery of men. But that does not take the fact away that indeed they believe sincerely also in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because can you imagine if they were not sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You think a person is going to take that chance? You are already a slave, you have no power, you have no family, you have no wealth, and now you want to take a chance in order, it might work out or might not work out. No, you won't take a job because you can be killed. You can be killed, you can be oppressed even further. So these people, it's not just because they found these ways in order to become better, but they also completely were convinced by the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why they put their life on the stake. They put their life in the front line in order to prove that they were sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to spread with his deen al-ukhuwa, brotherhood, love, compassion, illumination, all of these beautiful things that we find within a unit. Sometimes people misunderstand. Unity does not mean conformity. It actually means that people are able to work together on common grounds instead of fighting with each other on grounds that are even less. Today we look at ourselves, we find more things in common than things that we actually differ with each other. We are both human beings. We all come from Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So majority of the time we have much more in common than what we have differences. But Islam comes and shows us, and indeed this is the way that we have to go forward in working with every single person we can upon righteousness, upon good. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Work together upon what is right and what is good, and do not work together upon what is evil and bad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention Ahlul Birr, the people of righteousness. He said righteousness, meaning you're able to work with anybody from wherever, whatever background they come from. If you have a common ground, you have a common goal of good, you're able to work with that person. And this is what this deen Islam is about. So Islam came to also show that respect to human beings, to show the respect towards a male and a female, to show respect towards the young one and the old one, the senior and the younger. وَالْعَاقِلُ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَكُولَ أَنَّهُ فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ. Because so therefore it's impossible for a person to come just to say that they did this for their benefit. No, it was not only for their benefit, but it was sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the biggest thing that stopped Quraysh from believing, talking about the Sada, the leaders of Quraysh, was because of their blindness of what? What blinded them? Al-Kibriya, pride, boastfulness, right? Envy, hatred. These things, and by the way, hatred is not something that naturally comes. It is taught to a person. Exactly the same thing with all of these other things that people feel that they are better than others. Racism, it's something that is taught. It's not picked up naturally. And that's why you see that most of the time when we look at children, they do not know the difference between a black and a white person, because they look at everybody as the same. It is the environment and the parents and those that are around them that teach a child racism, that teach a child to think in a certain way. Therefore, Islam came to bring us back to our roots, bring us back to our natural way of how we should be. I always say Islam did not come to just show who is a Muslim. Islam came to show what is a true human being. How is it that we act and we behave on this dunya as slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Quraysh, one of the biggest reasons was standing up against this deen was Al-Kirbiya, boastfulness and pride. Why? Because they do not want to leave their possessions. They do not want to leave what they own. That's why a lot of the times you saw that even with Abu Jahl, Abu Jahl, when the Nabi brought the Risala, he said, what is wrong with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What is wrong with Bani Hashim? In the beginning, they all the time just want to fight with us for leadership. Abdul Muttalib comes, and of course he was one of the biggest leaders of Quraysh. He said that Abdul Muttalib came with Zamzam and Khalas, we gave it to him, he was the leader. And then we became the masters of trade, and we were the leaders of Quraysh. And now that we're the leaders of Quraysh, he says, now they want to come with a messenger. They all the time want to be better than us. What's next? So this was the mindset of Quraysh at the time. This is the mindset of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and all of these people, right? It was more about status, it was more about pride, it was more about showing the people what I am instead of what I can do for you. That's so important for people to understand more what you can do instead of what you receive. That's why in Arabic there's a famous quote that says, Sayyidul Qawm Khadimuhum. The master of the people is the one that serves him. Not the one that sits one side and does nothing and expects certain things. No, the person that is there for the community, the one that stands with the community, all right, that feels everything with the community, that decides to support the community in every way. That is the master of that is the leader of his community. And that is what the Nabi said. So wealth, money, power, all of these things, it doesn't help and it doesn't last. How many kings came and gone? How many times did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give people certain power and then he takes the power away, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody's going to be destroyed and perish, Allah will say, Limanil mulkul yawm, to who is the kingdom today? And Allah himself will respond, he says, Lillahi al-wahid al-qahar, alone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the domain and the kingdom. Alone, Allah is the king of kings. Actually, to be honest with you, he is the only king. A king is only a king if he brings something from non-existence into existence. A kingdom is there before he exists. He just comes and he leads a kingdom, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought everything from non-existence into existence. That is the true king, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Jahl had so many differences with the Nabi alayhi wasallam, even though he was the uncle of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not from Bani Hashim. Remember we said that all of the Arab tribes, they came from who? Nabi Ismail alayhi wasallam. So you will see that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he is connected to the Nabi alayhi wasallam in his lineage. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is also connected to the Nabi alayhi wasallam in his lineage. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, same thing. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, same thing. I mean, it's his cousin. So majority of the Arabs, they were connected with each other through the lineage, because Ismail alayhi wasallam came to Mecca, got married there, and of course from there he had all of his sons, and from those sons like Kedar and Adnan and all the way down Lu'ayy, Ka'b, this is where Quraysh came from, and this is where all the Sahaba as well came from with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to a certain level, you know, they found that this was, they found it, they, at least they felt, and this was their understanding, that this is more competition between the families, and of course it was not. This was something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to do. Even Iblis, when the Nabi alayhi wasallam started with this da'wah, you can see that Iblis, he also made it like it was something that was about pride and about boastfulness. If you look at what he did with Nabi Adam alayhi wasallam, same thing like Abu Jahl did, right? They thought that this was not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. They thought that this was for makana and status. Iblis, why was he kicked out of Jannah? Because he disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was that the only reason? No. It's because he felt that he had a right. He had a right to disobey Allah, meaning he was proud. He had a lot of pride within his heart. He was a person that did not care about the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he does not need it. That was his mindset. That was one of the main reasons why Iblis was kicked out. And to be honest with you, that was the first act of racism that we find when Iblis said, Ana khayrun minhu, khalaqatani min narin wa khalaqatahu min teer. I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Can you imagine? That was the first act of racism. So therefore, if a person acts upon these things, these bad, ill things, then there is no difference in you and Iblis, because you are following his footsteps. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from not following his footsteps. So the Nabi alayhi wasallam did all of these things. Why? In order to protect the Muslimin, in order to protect their dignity, their honor, because of the environment, the hostile environment that we're in. Inshallah ta'ala, we will try to continue with our next session, speaking about the next phase, the next step that the Nabi alayhi wasallam took, and that was going out publicly, declaring Islam, and telling the mushrikeen, and calling every single person, and of course calling the kings and the emperors of those times, would that be Persia, Rome, and all of these places, and going to Mecca. These things, inshallah ta'ala, we will speak about it in our next session. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.